Hi, James.
Recording in progress.
All right, let us now call this evening's meeting of the Champaign County Mental Health Board, Wednesday, February 19th, 2025, 5:45 p.m. in the Shields Carter Room of the Brookings Administrative Building, Urbana, Illinois. Let us call this meeting to order. May I have a roll call?
Molly McClay.
Present.
Chris Miner.
Here.
Tony Nichols.
Here.
Joe Omoasagie. Elaine Palencia.
Here.
Kyle Patterson, Emily Rodriguez,
here.
Jane Sprandel,
here.
John Paul Joachim.
All right, thank you very much. We do have a quorum, so we can proceed with an official meeting. Next, we have approval of the agenda. So we do have our agenda here, pages 1 through 2, and we are not making any adjustments. So would anyone like to discuss or make any motions?
I will make a motion to approve the agenda as presented.
Seconded.
All right, we have a motion and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of approving the agenda as presented, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. The ayes have it. The agenda is approved. Next, we will move to the MHB and DDB schedules and updated MHB timeline on pages 3 through 7 of your packet for information only. We do have a recommended change to the schedule. After some discussion between the chairs of the Mental Health Board and Developmental Disabilities Board, we have agreed to cancel the joint study session that was set for March 26th. We have a few items to discuss that are shared between the boards, but we have determined a way to discuss those in our regular meeting so that we don't have to have an additional meeting, which I'm sure everyone will be happy about. And my understanding is that the Developmental Disabilities Board agreed to that this morning, too. All right, well, that we don't need to move for that. So the March 26th, I guess, does anybody have any qualms about this idea? All right, seeing none, we don't need to officially make a motion for this, but so I will declare the March 26, 2025 study session with the DDB canceled. All right, any further discussion on the schedules or timeline? We will be discussing some aspects of the timeline later in the evening when we discuss the application process. So next, we will move to the CCMHB acronyms and glossary on pages 8 through 19 for information only. Any discussion on this? I just wanted to add that I think we should add Immigrant Services of CU as an acronym because it's not currently in there. And First Followers also isn't in there. I don't know if that needs an acronym because it's a shorter name, but I would like to recommend that.
Thank you for noticing that. After you suggested that, Leon and I found four other things we wanted to add to the glossary and two things to remove. So We've worked on it today. Thanks for the input.
That sounds great. Any other discussion? All right, seeing none, we will move to our first portion of public participation and agency input. And as you can see on our agenda, we do have a little more information about public input, just that it can be shared virtually or in person. And if you'd like to speak, you can approach the podium. Do we still have the slips, the little?
Yeah.
You can write down your comments and your information, and we can call you up, or you can raise your hand in the Zoom or put something in the chat. You can also communicate to the board and have us read comments aloud. Also, just to mention that agency representatives and others providing input which may impact board actions should be aware of the Illinois Lobbyist Registration Act, 25 ILCS 170/1, and take appropriate steps to be in compliance with the Act. This is going to be in all of our future agendas, but we just wanted to mention it tonight. And as always, I can reserve the right to limit individual participation, public participation time to 5 minutes and or 20 minutes total. The board does not just respond directly to public input, but may use it to inform future actions. One other thing I wanted to mention is that we have occasionally had instances where people online, agency representatives and others have piped in on the Zoom and just started talking without being recognized. Our rules are such that you can speak during the public participation and agency input times and also when you are called upon. So we may have items later in the evening where agencies may be called upon to discuss certain things, but please do not interject unless called upon. With all of that being said, does anyone have any public input that they would like to share with us, either online or in person? We will find out if there's anyone in the Zoom. All right. Seeing that there is no one in the Zoom asking to participate or anyone in person, we will move on to our next item of the agenda, which is for the board to move into closed session to discuss some issues. So we have some motions presented in the packet. We will entertain them both at the same time, and then we will move into closed session and kind of have two portions of that. So I'll go ahead and read the motions we have here, and then I'll ask if any board members would like to present those motions. So the board may move to enter into closed session pursuant to 5 ILCS 120/2C11 to consider litigation which is pending against or on behalf of Champaign County and litigation that is probable or imminent against Champaign County. The following individuals will join this closed session: members of the Champaign County Mental Health Board, Executive Director Canfield, Operations and Compliance Coordinator Howard Gallo, and Assistant State's Attorney Fletcher. That is our first motion. We may also move to enter into closed session for semi-annual closed session minutes review pursuant to 5 ILCS 120/2C21. The following individuals will join this closed session: members of the Champaign County Mental Health Board, Executive Director Canfield, and Operations and Compliance Coordinator Howard Gallo. If these motions are approved, those that have been authorized here will meet in the Putman Room and will move for roll call and discussion. And then when discussion ends, we will return to the Shields-Carter Room and the board will call for a motion to return to open session with a new roll call. And we do have some recommended actions to take once we have finished with the closed session. So given that, do any board members have discussion or want to make a motion?
So moved.
Do we have a second? Sorry, my mic must have cut you off. Okay, so we have two motions here. So those who have moved and second, are you moving on both motions?
Yes.
All right. Any further discussion? All right, I will read the motion. Do I have to read the motions again? No, I don't. Okay, all we will take a roll call vote regarding both motions that have been placed on the table.
Chris Minor?
Yep.
Tony Nichols?
Yes.
Joe Omoasagie?
Yes.
Elaine Palencia?
Yes.
Emily Rodriguez? Yes. Jane Sprandl?
Yes.
Molly McClay?
Yes. All right. With that, the ayes have it to move into closed session. So if I can have someone turn off the meeting recording and pause. It's going to stay on now. Okay. So we will move into the Putman room.
It's pretty tight. Sitting next to Jane, I guess, or
I can move to the
They're in closed session also.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh my God.
going right after this?
All right.
I'll get that blowback. Blow for me tomorrow, then. All right. Have a good day.
Take care.
Yeah, he knocked on the door while we were in there.
All right, with that, we will re-enter open session of the Champaign County Mental Health Board. Wednesday, February 19th, 2025. It is 6:22 p.m. Can I have a roll call?
Chris Miner.
Yep.
Tony Nichols.
Here.
Joe Omoasagie.
Yep.
Elaine Palencia.
Here.
Kyle Patterson.
Here.
Emily Rodriguez.
Here.
Jane Sprandel.
Here.
John Paul Joachim.
Here.
Molly McClay.
Here. All right, so we have a potential motion on the table. Would any board members like to make a motion?
I move that we return to open session. Is that what we're doing?
We already did that.
Okay. Oh, we already did that. Then what?
I don't know what the motion is.
What is the motion?
So there is a motion regarding closed session minutes at the bottom of the closed session section. But I can go ahead and move to accept the February 19th, 2020, February 26th, 2020, and July 21st, 2021 closed session minutes as revised and to continue maintaining them as closed. Any 1 second. All right. This has been seconded. All those in favor of accepting the motion as presented, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. The ayes have it. The February 19th, 2020, February 26th, 2020, and July 21st, 2021 closed session minutes are accepted as revised and continue to be maintained as closed. So next, we will move on to chairperson's comments. So I will keep it brief. I'm Molly McClay, the president of the Champaign County Mental Health Board. And it is a very cold evening, and we will try to move through the rest of our agenda quickly. But I just wanted to acknowledge that this has been a tough month for mental health services overall across the country, including in this county. I know that agencies are concerned about funding. I know that community members are concerned about lots of different things regarding their mental health. And I just want to continue to assert that our county and our board will be here for all members of our community and their mental health. And we stand ready to support the programs and all of our community members. And those are my comments. So next, we will move to Executive Director Lynn Canfield's comments.
Deferred.
Ooh, all right. We have deferred comments from our Executive Director, but we will hear more from her soon. So next, we will move to approval of the CCMHB Board Meeting Minutes. These minutes are presented on pages 20 to 25 of your packet. Action is requested to approve the minutes of the CCMHB's January 22nd, 2025 meeting and January 29th, 2025 study session. Any discussion or motions?
I make a motion to approve the board minutes as presented.
Thank you. Any second?
Seconded.
All right. Thank you very much. There is a motion and a second to approve the minutes as presented. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of approving the minutes of the CCMHB's January 22nd, 2025 meeting and January 29th, 2025 study session as presented, say aye. All those opposed, same sign. The ayes have it. The meeting minutes are approved. Next, we will move to the vendor invoice lists, which are on pages 26 to 36 of the packet. Action is requested to accept the vendor invoice list and place them on file. And we also have, for information, only some additional details for the expenditures. Any discussion or motions?
I will make a motion to approve the vendor invoices as presented.
I'll second.
All right, thank you very much. Any further discussion on these? Questions, concerns? All right, seeing none, all those in favor of accepting the vendor invoice lists and placing them on file, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. The ayes have it. The vendor invoice lists are accepted and placed on file. Next up, we have staff reports on pages 37 to 53 of the packet. So included for information only are reports from Kim Bowdry, Leon Bryson, Stephanie Howard Gallo, and Chris Wilson. Any board discussion about the staff reports?
We don't have one from Chandra.
She's on leave.
So I would like to call on Leon Bryson to share. I understand we have some contract terminations or amendments that happened recently. Would you be willing to share a little more about that?
Sure. So we had two contracts that were canceled by Rosecrans, and they were able to, you know, secure funding for the Child and Family Services program and the Specialty Courts program. And so then we have a third contract with Terrapin Station Sober Living that was mutually decided to cancel the contract, and that was due to some you know, programmatic barriers that prevented that agency director from going forward. And so, sadly, we thought it would be the best thing to do.
Thank you for sharing about that, and we've really appreciated all of the work that these programs have done over the years, and appreciated the relationships with the program leaders. So just wanted to mention that. I also had a question for Leon and or Kim, because I know that you both, there was a mention of working on surveys for the agencies about a few different issues, and I was wondering if you could share a little more about that.
Sure. So there are two surveys that Kim, myself, and Ms. Canfield worked on. One was pertaining to the evaluation capacity project, where we just wanted to get some feedback from agencies that were working with that project. So we just want to get their experience. And then the second part, the second survey was based on the emerging threats of the federal government funding freeze. And so we wanted to know how agencies were dealing with that, and we received several responses from some of the agencies, and so they have until March, I believe, 7th to complete that, or, you know, finish that.
We just released that yesterday and mm-hmm. already have several responses. It's all anonymous and optional, so that was... like, that's a measure of the good timing of that one, I think.
Thank you very much for sharing about that. I don't know, is Kim online and she want to add anything else? Not to put her on the spot.
Yeah, I don't have anything further to add. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. Any other questions or discussion about the staff reports? All right, I do have a couple more questions, but I want to make sure others can ask too. This is a question for Stephanie. I saw that there were some missing reports from some agencies, and I wondered if there are any updates on those, if any have come in kind of in the interim.
The Up Center asked for a two-week extension. They didn't meet their deadline, which would have been, I guess, the 14th. So they were sent a letter today that their funding is going to be suspended. And I think everyone else is in, right, Leon?
Yes, that's correct.
This was about the quarterly reports. All right, thank you. And then I also wanted to ask Stephanie and or Lynn about the Ebert Fest and AIR event that will be happening, if any updates on that.
There'll be an art show on Friday and Saturday, as long as we have enough artists that want to do it on Friday as well. And that's about as far as I've gotten with the art show.
What any else? Updates on what the film is? I know there was some like discussion about if a certain one was getting approved.
I'm not sure they've made it public yet. I did share it with the members of the other members of the Alliance for Inclusion and Respect. I shared it yesterday. I think it's not scheduled. It's not released yet. So I'd rather not say, but it'll be Saturday And I'll let you guys know as soon as it's publicly available, unless you already got that email. So.
And those dates are the 25th and 26th
yes.
of April?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
Awesome. Thank you. Any further discussion or questions about the staff reports? All right, seeing none, we will move on to new business. So first we have a presentation, the 2024 Mental Health Crisis Intervention Reports and Court Cases presentation, which you can find a slideshow on pages 54 to 59 of the packet. For information only as a report collected by the Champaign County State's Attorney's Office Civil Division for 2024, and Assistant State's Attorney Andrew Muller will present to us. So take it away.
Good evening. Again, my name is Andrew Muller. I'm an Assistant State's Attorney with the Civil Division of the Champaign County State's Attorney's Office. Just a little context before we jump into the presentation. You may or may not be aware, but the Illinois state law, the Mental Health Code, describes the process for involuntary admissions to hospitals. The process involves what is called an involuntary mental health petition. These petitions are most commonly filed by hospitals looking to keep someone in care who needs involuntary treatment on a basis of either being a risk of harm to self or others, unable to meet their own basic needs, or being at risk of deterioration. Other community members can file these petitions for family members or other people that they're concerned about. Anyone over the age of 18 can technically file this petition. Under the Illinois Mental Health Code, the state's attorney's office is required to be a party to all filed cases, regardless if it's the hospital or a private individual who's filing them. We are not a representative of either the hospital, the petitioner, or the patient. We are technically the attorneys for the paperwork and help these cases move through the court system and help families to understand the actual mechanism of involuntary mental health process. Now, we also handle what are called crisis intervention reports. These are interventions by law enforcement involving a mental health crisis or an individual who needs to be transported to the hospital due to that mental health crisis. These police reports often contain the same form, the involuntary mental health petition, that is not filed with the court. It is a non-binding petition, but involves similar information disclosed to both the hospital and to my office. My office logs all of the crisis intervention team reports that we see throughout the year, and we, my staff, have maintained the graph that you see in front of you. Based on that graph, we can see for the year 2024, we saw a significant spike in September and in January through February. That spike is also consistent in the involuntary mental health petitions that were actually filed, and we'll discuss that briefly. But the crisis intervention team reports are submitted to the state's attorney's office by the reporting agency, and we review that crisis intervention team report to determine whether any additional action needs to be taken, an actual filing of the mental health petition, or other mechanisms such as firearm restraining orders if they need to be implemented. We see the majority of our cases from either, in terms of crisis intervention team reports, from the UPD or UIPD departments. We see a small number from other departments, including the Sheriff's Office and Champaign Police Department. For court cases, we handled in the year 2024 121 cases. Just to put this into context for you, in the year 2020, we only saw 30 cases. Before the year 2020, there was an average of 10 to 20 cases, with the high being 30 in 2 years. So since 2020, we've seen a significant spike in these cases, and the amount of court time that we have to spend working with the hospitals and with family members through this process. We see the biggest spike in filed cases between January through February and August through September, similar to the crisis intervention team reports. It is notable that that is the start of the semester. And also for January through February, we see the biggest spike traditionally. That is also right after the holidays. A lot of that is community stress related to those issues, but we usually see that drop off in the beginning of the year once we start seeing spring weather come around in late March, early April. The majority of the cases are handled by Carle Foundation Hospital. A lot of these cases involve other physical illnesses or issues. However, however, most of the cases filed by institutions are by Carle. They see the most cases in their ED and then file a petition with our office. Most of the cases coming from community members are referred over to OSF, as OSF has a locked ward and an actual psychiatric service to provide care to these individuals. Pavilion only accounts for about 2% of the cases that we see. Also, as of January 2025, we saw in January 22 crisis intervention team reports and 14 mental health cases filed with the court. In comparison, last year in 2024, we saw 30 crisis intervention team reports and 12 cases filed in the circuit court.
All right, thank you very much. Any questions or discussions from the board?
So going back to who reports these cases, you said UIPD and UPD are the ones that contact you guys the most. If a patient or if a person goes to Carle, since they're in Urbana, the ER, is it the UPD then that gets called to file the report with you? Or
most typically, yes.
Okay. And then UIPD, then those are people, the individuals that are usually directly coming off of campus, typically.
Because I'd say there's a mix there. I would say majority are campus related, but okay, there are some individuals who just have interaction with their department for one reason or another. Okay.
Yeah, I wanted to follow up on that because I guess I was surprised that there wasn't more from Champaign Police Department, because I know that when I worked at the University of Illinois, I know like a lot of students who live on the campus like do live in the jurisdiction of Champaign Police Department or Urbana Police Department rather than UIPD, and I guess was wondering if there's any specific other considerations as to why Champaign has it's a drastically fewer cases. Is it primarily the hospital piece or other reasons? Unknown.
UPD has the most efficient and effective system for labeling their cases as crisis intervention team related cases. Champaign Police Department does mark a number of cases, but a number of cases are marked later as crisis intervention team related. Also, UPD, a number of their individuals are repeat customers, so individuals who have previously been marked as crisis intervention team, their future reports are also tagged crisis intervention team. So UPD also sees the most recurrent, as often as when individuals are released from the hospital, we see them a short time later.
Hey, do you happen to know how these numbers stack up against a comparable size city like maybe Bloomington?
We have not made that comparison.
Okay.
How many years have you been taking these statistics? Do you know?
I started taking these statistics in 2023. My assistant, Vanessa Winters, made all these lovely graphs out of them. And we have the number of cases that we actually filed for previous years. That's our 2020. We filed 30 cases, but we don't have our crisis intervention team's reports logged prior to 2023.
Okay. And are these conclusions used to recommend increased services, or, I mean, where does it go besides the numbers?
One of the focuses of my office is providing training on how the involuntary mental health system works and the mechanism of filing a petition. So law enforcement agencies who are frequently dealing with this process or family members, I often do a lot more engagement with them to help them understand the process and know who they can refer people to. Often UPD or UIPD refer families who are going through mental health crisis to speak to me about how to file a petition on their own. So we do some targeting of training that way. I also do provide training to the hospitals on how to pursue this process. So having them understand how other hospitals are dealing with it or how many cases we're actually seeing in the community is useful data for them.
And is this both for youth and adults?
vast majority are adults. Pavilion cases often involve juveniles, but they only account for about 2% of our cases. So,
I guess I know you said you couldn't compare to like Bloomington or Peoria that have college campuses. Do you know though if those areas are also seeing an increase? I assume they are.
I haven't seen their actual numbers, but mental health crises seem to be on the rise since 2020, so I would not be surprised if they had.
Man, we're really grilling you today. So as I said on something else earlier, I've slept since then. I believe we had a representative from UIPD. Is it correct that they have someone in each squad car to do like crisis intervention? And if so, would that be bumping the numbers up a little bit, or is that not parallel?
I think that I'm not sure of their actual system with that. I believe that's accurate. I believe that accounts for some of their efficiency in logging those cases.
Well, and again, I mean, I hate to see numbers increasing, but at least we're actually properly logging them now, so we can say we do have a problem. This is why we need to do mental health funding in our county. So thank you for your hard work in your office.
Thank you.
I had one more question, because I actually had semi-recently gotten in question about this issue from a community member. So if a community member had questions about this process, especially sort of like the involuntary commitment stuff, would they reach out to your office like to potentially ask questions or get more information, or is there another place that they should reach out to?
They can reach out to my office. My ability to discuss certain topics with them is severely limited. I'm able to talk with them about where the form is, how they can file it, how the technical process of these cases moving through the courts progresses, and I can file the petition with the circuit clerk on their behalf. I also act as a friend of the court in presenting the petition to the court, but in terms of other, whether or not they should file it, or I often refer them to Land of Lincoln or self-help legal services. My office is a good starting point for families who may be considering this petition to just understand how the process functions.
Yeah. I think that is very helpful information for community members. Right. So thank you.
I'm sorry. I give this disclosure a lot, but I am not their attorney and I can't give them legal advice. So we are always very clear with them at the beginning of this process that our representative capacity is limited.
That definitely makes sense. Thank you. Any last questions? Well, thank you very much for your work on this and for presenting to us this evening.
Thank you for your time.
So next, we will move on to the next item of new business, which is review of applications for program year 2026 funding. So there is on you can find this on pages 60 to 65 of the packet. For information only, the packet includes a briefing memorandum on the process of reviewing requests for funding with a checklist optionally for board members to use, and we also have a list of successful applications attached. So I wanted to see if, Lynn, if you wouldn't mind talking us through this, through the memo a little bit.
I'll speed through this. This is very similar to the process we used last year. I just updated with dates and tried to clarify the expectation of what we as staff will accomplish and when. The rest is up to you all. The board process is maybe a little bit different every year depending on the board. And this year you have 9 members, which is, I think it's been a few years since we had a full board when we went through the review process. So that might be easier for y'all. Another thing is there are 19 applications, which is a little bit less than some recent years. So that's also might make it easier. I did try to focus on expectations for timeline, which are in the timeline that's accompanies the schedule in every one of these packets, but we tried to add a few details to that. Like there's also a new part of the priorities documents, which you all approved in November, is a strengthening of the expectations for minimal responsiveness. We have never really started there and said this application doesn't meet the 6 minimal responsiveness standards and therefore shouldn't be considered, but it is in the priorities document. I wanted to just bring that forward. The language was strengthened a little bit for this year. There's a new requirement for the agency's most recent audit or review or audited balance statement in lieu of an audit with the application. So that, I don't know if that's going to be helpful in this year's review, but the other dates to look at are, you have a couple of meetings in April. Traditionally, we've needed both to get all the way through all the reviews. You might not. So you might start on the 16th, and then the 30th would just be business meeting with maybe nothing but the annual report and some minutes to approve. Then there are also 2 meetings in May to discuss the staff recommendations for funding, because we always get into like, it's never enough money available to fund everything. So how do you make decisions across several desirable applications? So these were, the timelines are also flexible. This is your process. We like to have everything settled by June so that we have some time to develop the contracts, so that we're ideally getting those payments out as close as July 1st, and that contracts have a start date of July 1st for uninterrupted services or for best results for new services. But that's just, again, a standard, an expectation. So you can take longer if you need to. You could split considerations across a few meetings or months. And then there's just a little bit here about expectations, that a lot of times there are questions that board members have that may relate to things that were not addressed in the application, whether it's an oversight on our part with application questions, or it wasn't answered directly, or you might want to know more, or you've heard something. So there's always extra information sought, and we're trying to accommodate that despite the tight turnaround times. So there's just a little bit in there about that. I think I've said too much already. So here is the, on this list, we have this column, PY25 is currently funded contract. It's kind of hard to read, I think. Then the applications are in this next column, PY2026. And then the final column is 2-year contracts. So that's money that's already dedicated for this coming cycle, but that you don't have to decide on because you decided it last year through a 2-year contract. So I did not do anything about assigning reviewers. I think that's something Molly McClay would like to talk with you about and maybe work on next month. So if you all have any questions about this, I do have printed copies. I can give you access to the online system if you're interested in doing that. There's a draft here for a review checklist if you want to use it. It might be helpful. We updated it. Mr. Bryson and I updated it to match the priorities document. I think that's all I have to say, right? And I can print stuff for you if that's helpful too. Okay.
So just to be clear, it looks like we're a little less than $950,000 short of being able to fund everything.
We don't know yet what we can afford. That's the totals are what you've already allocated for this year, and then things that you've allocated for next year with the July 1 start date through those 2-year contracts last year. And then the middle column there is the total of requests. And then at the bottom we add in the PY26 amount. So that's what's being sought. It's not what's available. We don't know yet what's available. There are some complicating factors. We have to go forward and look at what the likely property tax revenue increase will be for 2026, develop the rest of the budget, and then come backwards into it, because there are changes in 2025 that we weren't expecting that may lower what's available for this year. So usually the earliest I can get you that information is like middle of April, but I'll try, I'll do my best. And Chris Wilson and I already talked today about like a strategy for giving you some kind of ballpark. So
those numbers that are in that very bottom row there, the PY 2025 is what we allocated for this current program year, and then PY 2026 is what we are being asked for this year. But we don't know the amount we have available to give for PY 2026. I also wanted to mention each board member that was on the board as of fall 2024 talked to Lynn and I about their feedback about the board process for reviewing applications. I had hoped to have like sort of a synthesis of those ideas for this meeting to talk with you all about. And unfortunately, the prep for the other aspects of this meeting consumed my life, as well as my job as a therapist is exploding right now. So I will be preparing something to share with you all next month about what our process could be, knowing, you know, we have a lot of things we've done in the past to discuss applications, and there's some great feedback that I've gotten from everybody about things we could improve. So I will be ready with that next month. But of course, if anybody has any comments on this process for now, or any questions about anything that's been presented, please do ask and or share.
I have a comment, actually. Last year, we basically, despite hours and hours of talking tirelessly about who we're going to fund, we basically funded everybody, right? Who did we not fund? I know Rosecrans found money somewhere else, and we knocked some money off WIN and knocked a couple percentage points off everybody else. But other than that, yeah, and if we're just going to be a rubber stamp, I don't even know why we're going to spend hours debating. So please look at this with an open mind that maybe we can't fund everybody, especially if we're going to have a shortfall. Nobody wants to be the bad guy. Last year, I've considered symbolically saying no to a couple people, but I hate being performative. That's just annoying. So I didn't do it. I will be doing it this year. I haven't looked at anything. Perhaps everybody's glistening and doing stuff, but these late audits have to stop. We can't have these fluid due dates. That's just not realistic. I run a nonprofit. I don't come for big funding because I don't want to have to hire an accountant. If you want to play this game, you have to play this game. So that being said, I don't want to come out negative right off the bat, but keep an eye out and look for stuff because we probably can't fund everything, so somebody's going to get cut.
Thank you for sharing that. And we will have also an opportunity to discuss this audit concern and a few items from now as well. Any other comments, questions?
So I guess for Lynn, on page 49, it says the annual budget for the mental health board was a little over $7 million. Is that correct? For 2024?
I'm sorry.
49.
Are you looking at the staff report that's the year-to-date?
It says 2024 annual budget on page 49.
Uh-huh.
And it just says the annual budget expenditures was $7,082,000.
Right. So we can develop.
I was just wondering what last year was, just to kind of give me.
These are unaudited figures, too. This is what Chris pulled down from the system. They're still working on it. So. I see it. What did you want?
No, I just wondering, like, was that what we expected, kind of?
Well, we had the budget for 2024 was $7,082,000, and then the actual is 6.77. But these are, as I said, these are unaudited. There are some bills we're still paying. There are county departments bill us on the last day, and then we need to get that together and reconcile across these two boards.
So it's going to be less.
Well, the property tax revenue line is the one that we start with. So there are very few things known right now. Where is that? Property tax revenue from 24 was budgeted at 6.3 million and actual was 6.3, a little bit more. And then sometimes back taxes don't get applied, or I don't know exactly why and when we see back taxes and in lieu of, but we came pretty close to budgeted amounts. And I know that just for the 01, that first line, we can apply CPI of 2.9% increase and then assume a 99% collection rate. There was one year where there was a much lower collection rate, so that was a surprise. That was the year people didn't want to pay taxes because they couldn't leave their house. So you might remember. Yeah. So, I mean, this is the only thing that's known, and there's so much else unknown, like regarding other costs, whether they'll go up or whether we'll, and I don't know. I could start working it, but to be honest, like, I haven't had a lot of time yet, even with the guesses. And then there's a new surprise expense that we'll need to absorb pretty quickly here. So, anyway.
But the 6.3 kind of gives me an idea.
Yeah. So that... Yeah, that's the line we start with, apply 2.9%. Don't worry about the collection estimate yet. Usually comes out better than what we guess. And so we make adjustments later in the year. But,
thanks.
Okay, sorry.
I had some similar questions, so thank you for asking that. Any other questions or comments on this portion? All right, well, seeing none, we will next move on to old business. So first, we have an update from the evaluation capacity building project, and we have a representative here to share that with us.
Good evening. It's nice to see everyone again. It's been a while since I've seen some of your faces, so I'm Rachel from the evaluation team. Thank you for the enthusiastic wave. I appreciate it. So we are plugging away with the standard components of our capacity building project. So we're doing the technical assistance, we're doing a working group, and we're looking for someone from a developmental disabilities agency to join us for that. We recently have gotten some additional micro-learnings up on our website that you can check out. We have a logic model series going through each of the phases of how to develop a logic model. And we're feeling good about the work that's being done, and some people with the technical assistance are, you know, I think I mentioned last time, getting excited about some of the data analysis and stuff. And so I think I'm looking forward, you know, some of the data that's been coming up has been just really powerful about the importance of these programs. And so it's a nice time to see that data coming through. So I'm happy to answer any questions you have.
What potential new micro learnings may be coming down the pike?
Yes, so we have a meeting to plan some of those things, but we are also open to feedback from people if things are coming up that are becoming really pressing. Something we've been talking about relates to reporting and how to communicate some of the data in reporting in a way that we can talk about different forms of data and make those reports stronger. And then talked about a micro learning with that, as well as some ways to build in participatory approaches to evaluation for agency. So how to engage different stakeholders through those processes so that all of the evaluation stuff that's happening is really relevant to the people that are impacted by programming, and that the outcomes that are being selected are those that are relevant to the people receiving programming. So those are a couple sneak peeks maybe. But you know, we talk to the working group before we make any final decisions about what's going to be most helpful and the best methods for being helpful in those ways. So
that is great. And I love, like, sort of the mirroring of, you know, participatory approaches are used with working with the agencies, and then being able to help agencies use those same approaches to do evaluation with the participants in their programs is like just a really nice way to continue that forward. I realize I don't know the URL for the website. Is
ooh,
that something that
put me
we
on the
could
spot?
Get
oh.
So I mean, maybe we could get it added to future agendas.
Sure.
It's in a memo that I've already written for the March board meeting. If you'd like me to put it on the screen, I can do as I did this morning, because you got people interested. Do you want to see it? It's also on our the application and reporting website, too. It's linked there. So you want to see it?
Sure.
It's a long one. Okay.
Yeah, maybe sending. Yeah, the sending is
I could just
good.
Send you the memo for next month's meeting. Okay.
Yeah, I think if we could like get the link kind of listed in the agenda next to old business, then, you know, we can, well, maybe just for me, but then I can, you know, follow along each month and see kind of what's on there. A link to the evaluation capacity building website.
Okay, my signature on every email I send has two links at the bottom. One of those is to the application and reporting website, which has links to all kinds of stuff, 211, this stuff. I mean, I'm a little frustrated at needing to pull forth all kinds of detailed information and then still keep things simple so that you can get through them. Do you know what I mean? I can send you guys the website link right now. Would that be okay? And then
yeah,
you have
yeah.
it. Okay.
We
but
can
there
always
really
talk
is
about
a memo.
It for...
There's a memo in your next board packet about this. Okay.
Yeah, and you all are also welcome to email us at any time. I hope that we've come off as, you know, accessible throughout this process, and we've had formal and informal meetings with different agencies to, you know, learn about how we can be really just how we can improve our work so that the work that we're doing is practical and relevant to, you know, meeting the needs of agencies and their reporting and evaluation processes. So I'm pretty quick on email.
Sounds great. Any other questions or comments from the board? All right, seeing none, thank you so much for your work, and we look forward to talking with you in future meetings too.
Thank you very much.
All right, next on old business, we have two, you know, standing updates that have both been deferred for this month. So the Disability Resource Expo update has been deferred, and community needs assessment activities has also been deferred. So we will now move on to the special agency request, which is on pages 66 through 80. So this is a decision memorandum that provides background information to support the board's discussion of action requested by Immigrant Services of CU, Urbana Neighborhood Connection Center, and Women in Need Recovery. I think also this is an opportunity kind of to discuss this issue overall and how we might move forward with maybe future requests of this nature. So I wanted to start by asking Wynn if you could walk us through this memo.
I'm not doing very well at summarizing things, but this is the wrong memo. So start with the right memo. Okay. So there's in September of 2024, we put together a memo that tried to track the history since some substantial changes were made to the funding requirements. The first set of substantial changes to the funding requirements were 2018, and they included that you could do an audit or a financial review or a compilation depending on total agency revenue level, but there would have to be something, and then there were allowable costs, and there were some clarification of processes in 2018, and then we kept finding for the next few years that it remained really difficult for people to afford and get these products to us on time. So something like, was it 2021? We changed the process from asking staff for extensions on audits to bringing this to the board whenever there was going to be a need for more time for audits. And so we've, you know, I think there were maybe four sets of revisions to these. We keep, you know, asking CPA firms for input, agencies for input, other funders for input, comparing with state rules, getting input from the board. So where we have had things since 2023, we've got the language that is relevant to what happens when an agency needs more time for an audit, or if their payments are suspended because an audit is late, what they should do in order to talk to the board. So that language is on page 67. That comes from the funding guidelines and requirements in the most recent version, where we really tried to clarify these processes. And then there's the next section is some history. There's history of exceptions when it was just staff working on the exceptions, and then there's the 2021 revisions are when it becomes a board issue, but also we added time. So agencies had 2 extra months to complete an audit, and this was based on some things that we learned, like CPA firms were willing to cut some of them a deal if they could wait till after October. There were people who couldn't get their audits done by the end of October, even though that was the state deadline, because the state wasn't providing them with the information they needed for their audits. So we're like, okay, we'll move it forward. Now we match the new state requirements too. But this list shows the various requests that y'all have entertained since that change and what they were for and who they were for. The links, all of the blue text there underlined is a link to the board packet, which documents it. So if you want more detail, you should be able to. It's quite easy to, I don't want to open the link. It's quite easy to see more detail if you want it. And then the here's a little bit about the revisions themselves. What was important was the change of timing. That was the most important thing. And then here is an update on what has happened this year. There were 9 audits that didn't make it to us by December 31st. Since that time, we've gotten the Refugee Center and Family Service. We have not received First Followers, and the information right there is what they have provided to us. Then we notified the following. Christian Health, we still don't have. See You Early got it done at that time. Courage Connection, we just received this week. Immigrant Services has made a formal request, which is in this packet. Terrapin did send it. This was one of the issues. They had sent it a while before, but there were some problems internally causing us not to receive it, and the conversation got very confusing, but we've reviewed it, or we're actually in the process of reviewing it and talking through that as we resolve that. Women in Need Recovery also has made a formal request. And then we get, so those are currently funded agencies. So they have payments suspended and a risk of the contract being canceled if the audit's not there by March 31st. Then we have down here, the 3 requests come from, as I said, Women in Need Recovery, asking to have the payments started again despite late audit, and then 2 agencies who are not currently funded, slightly different situations, but both have applied for funding, and with the application is the requirement now for an audit from the most recent year. So they're making a formal request as well. And then there's some stuff here, future consideration for like how this, whatever you decide to do with these formal requests now might have an impact on the other organizations that don't have audits in yet. As I said, Courage Connection is in, so that happened since I finished the memo. And then there are some possible actions here. This is not to say we are not recommending any particular action. This board has talked a lot about these kind of issues, and I need to stop now so that you can continue that conversation. But the actions are there just to save you time from having to construct motions on the spot, which I apologize. Last month, I had not thought to do. Okay.
Thank you very much. And we do have letters from the 3 agencies that are making requests of us that are on pages 74 through 80, I believe. As Lynn mentioned, we have some possible actions that we can take. We've listed a couple possibilities that are for each agency. Lynn and I talked in depth about possible motions, but obviously we are not beholden to any of these. We can make any adjustments needed or, you know, completely do a new motion for any of these. But I wanted to, you know, give us an opportunity to talk about what is before us, both in terms of the 3 agencies making requests and then any other agencies that might continue to have a late audit, where we might need to, agencies who do have a late audit that whose applications for funding might also be in have some consideration questions. So what thoughts do you all have? We can make motions, but I think we can discuss also. So there are different things that are being asked of us. So two agencies are asking us to consider their application, even though their audit is not in. And then another agency is asking us to waive suspension of payments due to their audit not being in. These are options. So for each agency, there are two optional motions, but we can also come up with other ones.
Okay, so I make a motion. I move to consider the Immigrant Services of CU program year 2026 funding request if the year 2024 audit report is filed on or before March 31st, 2025, and any related follow-up issues are resolved.
All right, so we have a motion on the table. Any seconds? All right, any discussion on these, on this?
Okay, I will start some discussion just because I don't want us to start voting. Again, my thoughts on this. I'm pretty sure we've had the conversation about if you don't have all your proper paperwork in when you make your application, then you may miss out on this funding year. So I feel that, but I also am like, if we were to have the information in, say, by March 31st or a date we choose, a decision could be deferred until then. So staff would not evaluate the application. We as a board would not evaluate the application until pretty much the last moment, per se. So it looks like we have two agencies that criteria would kind of fall for me. That'd be the Immigrant Service. I guess we're only doing one of these at the time. So I guess my point is I would feel more comfortable if they had it in, say, by the 31st rather than saying, hey, we're going to go ahead and forgive them today, because how many other agencies didn't apply because they didn't have all their ducks in a row? And so I have to think there could be agencies who say, I don't have a valid audit, so I can't apply for this money. So that's just my two cents.
Thank you.
I think this is a blanket comment that after being here, it's my second, third meeting that I suspect that I will need to make a lot. It is the most bizarre thing. I have not seen it. I've sat on several different boards, but we are tasked with servicing tax dollars in a way that alleviates mental health issues in Champaign County. And what we are talking about is being the barrier to helping those needs because of bureaucracy. Nobody's appointing us. I've heard the comment, we can't be a rubber stamp, and it's not our job just to say yes all the time. Is it our job to say no to helping these unique needs that are being met by these organizations that clearly don't do it for a lot of money? They just do it to address needs. Like, now more than ever, groups like Courage Connection, like the Immigrant Services of CU, it's more needed now more than ever. And I guess, like, sitting on the county board, like, man, you guys are sitting really pretty on funds that can directly help people. It's just, like, I feel like bizarro world, like, that you guys are like, oh, I don't know, they didn't do it on time. Like, if that's really the case, then let's have a review, a study session on what barriers exist that are getting between these organizations and filing on time, because it can't just be them. We know. Okay, sure. Sure. Again, I still hold. It seems a little silly to me.
So we are a rubber stamp, to clarify. So we are a rubber stamp.
It's not about rubber stamping. I mean, this is so self-selected by need that there is no way that these are rubber stamped. People don't just come here expect to get money. I think that's an insulting term. I agree with Emily on all of it.
I stand with what I said.
I mean, we're, I think a lot of times, I mean, we have this larger conversation about running things like a business. This is not a business. This is a service. And being a service, we are service in our community. I mean, David is here from the Immigration Services Center. I mean, I would like to have deeper conversations about the barriers. We know what the barriers are, and we keep, and many, not all our agencies do it. Many of, some of our agencies come up to the barrier quite a bit, but we're not running a business, and we're trying to provide services for our community, and that's will consistently be my reason to be here.
Come to the microphone.
Yes. So it sounds like a board member would like to hear specifically from Immigrant Services on this issue. So please do come up to.
We're more than happy to answer any questions you guys have or to even provide more context onto whatever it is that you guys would like us to express on. I think it goes without saying that now more than ever, Immigrant Services organizations are doing work that, like, I could get emotional talking to you about it right now. It is not every single day we are facing individuals who don't know how they're going to live the next day. And these services are what makes that possible for us. We're a small organization. We by no means are coming here to just say, here's our excuse, here's what it is. I appreciate your passion. I appreciate that you believe that things should be done in a certain fashion, but I also respect the other opinions that have been raised because this is difficult work. I'm an immigrant myself. I show up every day scared of deportation, but I help individuals that are also. So I will be stepping into the executive director role, and I will do everything in my power to assure that this does not happen again. But if you have any specific questions as to why it happened in the first place, David is here and is more than happy to answer those questions.
Yeah, I just want to give just a little background information. We tried very, very hard to get an audit. We shopped around for CPAs. None of them had the time. And we got a letter of, which I have here, an audit engagement letter that states that they will begin an audit after May 1st. That was the earliest that we could get an audit. And this does not address why we didn't get an audit done between June 31st and the end of the year. And I don't want to make excuses. That was mismanagement on our part. But we tried very hard to correct that. And the best we could do was get a letter of engagement saying that that the audit would start on May 31st. I can go into detail on why we didn't meet the December 31st deadline if you're interested, but I can assure you that we not only understand, but we appreciate the need for this kind of oversight, and we apologize for not doing it the previous year, and it will not happen again.
The last thing I'll just throw in and ask you guys to consider is how the community might suffer if these services were to not be able to be provided. I think that's what I hope that we can all at least have respect for when we show up to have the conversation. Yeah.
How many years have we been supporting you guys?
We were previously... this thing on? Yep. We were previously funded in fiscal year 22 to 23.
Only 1 year of funding from the Mental Health Board, and that was PY24.
Yeah, okay. We chose not to apply for funding the following year due to some of these mismanagement. We had a lot of turnover with our executive directors for reasons that we don't need to go into, but were pretty heavy for us to take on as an organization, and we are now choosing to reapply after getting all of our ducks as much in a row as we can to say that we actually have the processes to be able to take on a grant at this level that really holds us to a high level of accountability when it comes to reporting, documentation, and everything else. But in terms of the client service and direct service engagement, that was something that our demographic really benefited from and will continue to if the funding is approved.
And what changes have you guys made?
I don't just want to
Well, we've established a calendar for deadlines for all grant associated deadlines. We have spent a lot of time getting late tax filings straightened out. In terms of internal management processes, we've started regular staff meetings. We've tried to become, in all aspects, a much more professional organization.
Can I ask a clarifying question regarding the audit start date? Because I believe the letter that you submitted to us stated that the audit would be started May 1st. But I thought I heard you say May 31st. Is it May 1st the start, and May 31st is when it's expected to come in?
Well, I certainly hope it's done by May 31st, but the auditor didn't guarantee that. So I don't think I, in good faith, can guarantee that. All I can guarantee is that what the auditor represented, he will start it May 1st. But from what I know of audits, it should not take more than a month.
I struggle with that because I know our experience is that so many agencies have had 6 months to do an audit and have come to us asking for extensions to continue paying them while time goes on for more and more months. Our official deadline at which contracts would be canceled is 9 months after the end of the fiscal year. And I know that our local audit, when we consulted with a local auditor, they indicated that kind of in the average good scenario, an audit should take 8 weeks if all of the books are in order. So I am concerned that May 31st would not, like the end of May would not be feasible for it to actually come in by then if it's not starting till May 1st. And I know the deadline was December 31st. I am really struggling with this because I really care about the services that you all provide, and we really do need them more than ever. And it's also, I know that, the reasons we have the audit requirements that we do is to make sure that the money that we are sort of charged with disseminating on behalf of the community is used appropriately. And, there have been times where agencies have owed us back money, and that there have been major problems, and there have been usually there aren't major problems. So this is a challenge because, currently funded agencies, if their audits are not in by March 31st, which is the time that's been floated around, that they their contracts are come up for possible cancellation. And this date that you're giving is multiple months beyond that. So I do struggle with that, and I do want to be very clear how much I care about your services and support your services too.
And I appreciate what you've said, and we've had discussions with our financial manager about the timeline because we realize that audits do take time, and what we've done is we've contracted with another CPA who is going to resolve the bank statements, get everything in order for the auditor by March 31st, so that when the audit begins, everything will be in order. So we've done everything we can to try to make sure that the process goes smoothly. But again, I can't predict the future. But we are trying very, very hard to get this in as soon as we can.
I'm interested in hearing more about your work, and in particular, how your work has changed in the past few months, and how that might have changed the amount of effort you were able to put into something like this and meeting deadlines like this.
So if I understand your question correctly, you're saying that, you know, post-election, post-inauguration, that your concern is that we are taking on more, which would make it more difficult for us to comply with these types of things. Okay, understandable. I think that there is outside, okay, how do I say this? So those of us that are not working in immigrant service organizations don't understand probably that even before this election and even before this inauguration, we were doing the work of preventing deportation. That was already what we were doing. That was not new. We were just doing it in a different way. The difference is that now all of the focus is on us. Everyone is now looking at us and paying attention and asking us for answers. And what has increased is probably the community engagement portion. But the work that we're doing with clients has not changed other than to make sure that in the dialogue that we're having with clients, that they know their rights, that is something that they are very, 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 very secure on. But all of our programs and all of our services are aiming to help specifically asylum seekers, but immigrants across the immigration spectrum, to comply and to find stabilization with whatever it is they need to avoid deportation. So we've been doing that directly prior to this election. I mean, we've already gone through one Trump administration, so we learned a lot from that. And a lot of our work actually came from what we learned during that first administration. So I understand your concern. You'll find in our application that a large reason why we're asking for funding is to be able to bring on more staff. So being able, I currently am an associate director and a case manager. So I am handling administrative tasks, and I'm also doing case management. I came on as a case manager. We're a small organization, came from a very grassroots, you know, background, and I was able to learn very quickly. Having a case manager will make it to where my sole focus can be these kinds of things. But in order to do that effectively, we really do need the funding to be able to do it. We would actually like to bring on two case managers. We have the opportunity to pay for one case manager without a grant like this, but in order to be able to do two effectively and meet the needs that are ever increasing, it would be great to have two. So with that being said, my focus will be on things like this once staff, you know, once I'm not wearing five different hats. But yeah, that is something I want to emphasize, is that we've already been doing this work. It's not like all of a sudden we showed up to work after inauguration and we were like, okay, and now it's time to get busy. We've already been doing this. It's just that now people are paying attention.
Any further discussion on this particular motion?
I'm sorry, this isn't really a question for you guys. I'm a little confused. I don't know, maybe I'm being dense, by the language of the motions. I don't understand what the difference is. When I read the first one, it says, defer consideration until such time as the program year 2024 audit report has been filed. And then the next one, it says, to consider the motion once the audit is filed. It just seems like it's the same thing, just phrased differently.
Well, the first one doesn't have a deadline. It's just to wait. And the question is, please consider our application for funding. The audit was owed because of the contract in PY24. It does appear that some money is owed back to the Mental Health Board based on the Q4 reports, but we don't use those to ask for money, wait for the audit. So right now, when we could be recapturing some funds, we have to wait when there are late audits to even start doing that. So that's one consequence we didn't really talk about in the memo, but it's important when we're talking about reallocating funding. So it's kind of related. Like, if the first motion would maybe allow you to say, we're not even going to decide about this application, whether to consider it or not, until the audit is available, which could happen like in August. And in August, you might have more money. You know, this is, you know, you couldn't have a contract that starts July 1. So that motion may be too open-ended for you all. It gives no deadline at all, and it may put you into the time of the year when, if you do have extra money, you might have decided to spend it on something else. So you could modify that motion by adding some kind of time frame to it. The second motion puts everything to the timeline that will apply to organizations that have contracts with us right now. Their contracts will be canceled if their audits are not done by March 31st. They actually have to come and talk to you about considering canceling the contract if the audit is that late. It's not automatically canceled. It comes up for discussion. So the difference would be just to time it like that, but it sounds like that's not a possible time frame for them. So maybe this motion would have to be revised too.
I withdraw that motion then, if that's now that I understand. Is it not impossible?
Could you revise it if you had an idea of another deadline? I mean, the first one is perhaps too open-ended, and then this one is perhaps too soon. So maybe neither of these motions is helpful right now.
Do either of these get in the way of funding in the immediacy, and when they get it, it's for 2026, right?
The question is to consider the application at all. So first you got to review the application, and so in the priorities memo, it says you won't do that if this isn't available, but you have the authority to make exceptions to rules. So you could say, we will review it. We'll review the application whenever the audit is done. I mean, you could also say you'll review the application without an audit. There's not a motion to that effect, but that's an option that y'all have. And we staff will do whatever you tell us to. We can review the application regardless of what y'all are going to do. You could say, let's review all the applications and then put conditional contracting, like there's no contract until there's an audit. That's a strategy used in the past.
Part of the reason that the March 31st deadline was given was, one, because that is the deadline at which sort of the second deadline or the end of the grace period for turning in a late audit, because audits are due December 31st. And if they're not in by then March 31st is when they might be subject to contract cancellation. But also because at our previous meeting, there was a comment about potentially considering March 31st to be the deadline by which we would essentially, if audits are not in by March 31st, then we would not consider any application whose audit was not in by then. That was a comment made in the last meeting, I believe, by Dr. Joachim. Please correct me if I'm wrong. So that was why it was included in any of the motions that were regarding please consider our application. But of course, this can be amended to another date. And like Lynn said, we can use the defer consideration, or we can just say we're going to accept it when we're going to consider the application, and it doesn't matter when the audit is in. So we have possibilities, but we wanted to list some. And that March 31st date was because of prior discussions and because it is a deadline. I wanted to say that I, you know, have been frustrated with the number of times we've had to discuss these exceptions and extensions since I've been on the board. I joined the board in May 2022. So I've attended approximately 30 meetings. 15 of those meetings have involved these discussions. I counted them up from this memo, which is half of my meetings in my entire time on the board. And I recognize that prior to that time, the staff handled a lot of those decisions. If we, I think, you know, we could consider making making different guidelines than what we have now if we don't intend to enforce these audit guidelines. Because I do understand that this is about we need to focus on the services, and also there are reasons why audits are required. So I know that this has taken a lot of time, and we've taken a lot of time with it tonight, but those are some of my thoughts, including on why the motions are presented as they are.
So it seems like the next point in this conversation is the date. Do we have any suggestions on when we'd like to change that date to?
We're trying to make final decisions by May 28th, is that right? When applications?
I believe so, although it is also important to note that when an audit comes in, then the staff also has to review the audit, too.
So a question for Lynn. For this organization, if they didn't get funding in PY24, it looks like they would just need a financial review, not a full audit, right?
That's what we all thought, but then they had, may I speak for you? This is actually really good news. At the end of that program year, they received a very large contribution, which put them over that $500,000 threshold. So that was good news.
How long does a financial review usually take to do?
Well, they have to do an audit now.
Yeah, but I was saying.
I think that these products they're not that much different. The review should be quicker, but one thing that we've learned from CPA firms, it really has to do with the condition of the financial records that they're presented with. So
I think for me, just putting my thoughts out there, you know, I've been on this board for a while now, and I always try to balance doing the most good, trying to maximize the well-being of the community, and also making sure staff don't burn out. Like, that's the way I see my decisions typically. And I think coming at it as a physician, I work in a system that's broken. There's a lot of systems in this country that are broken, and I spend my day trying to make the system work for families. And the system is broken, and we have to find ways to make it work. I just want to make sure that what we ask of staff isn't going to burn them out. And that's what I'm going to base my decisions on. And so I think with the amount of revenue that the organization has, the agency has, I'm okay making a decision for this year without the audit from previous year, the 1 year. They've only gotten funding from us for 1 year. This is an agency that is serving the most underserved in the community, the ones with the least voice. And at a time where they are suffering the most right now, and as a son of immigrant parents, I know what that is like for people coming to a country with not having a social support system. And it's when you have people in the community that can be a lifeline, it can make a life or death difference. And it's really important that we serve those people when we can, if we have an option. Again, this decision isn't to give the funding. All it is to look at the request. So that's my thought.
Is March 31st, that's realistic?
No.
I didn't think it was. So when would the cutoff have to be? Because, yeah, plot twist, I'm completely with y'all. Yeah, immigration's a different situation right now, so I'm not just a jerk, despite how I might have came off earlier. And I think the board members who've been with me kind of know that I just talk big. But, yeah, for real, when is the latest? Because I want to give them all the time we can.
Linda, were you trying to comment, or were you commenting on other people's?
I'd like to wait. I can get back to both of these, but you have two board members ready to say something, too, maybe others. I'm sorry.
My question is, again, what date do we revise this to? It seems like if we want to move this forward, that's the question at hand that we need to answer.
I guess from what I'm gathering is if they're not starting till May 1st, they're going to try to have it done by May 31st. Doesn't their board have to approve it, and then doesn't our staff have to evaluate it? So are we looking at a June 31st extension, and by then we'll have already given out the funding? Or am I, like, mixed up?
You could revise this motion by deleting everything after funding request. I mean, seriously, and that, because this is not a promise of funding. This is just to say we would review it with the other applications, period, and then make, you could decide later if the lack of an audit was an issue. I wanted to, is it okay for me to respond to a little bit to some of that? Just because the most unpopular people in this country right now are certainly immigrants, but maybe coming up fast are bureaucrats. Like, we're really having a bad day too, but not quite as bad. So, but just to say that when I came into this role, one of the things that I really understood clearly was all of the harm caused to America's healthcare system by a strictly reimbursement-based payment system, with, like, not even to comment on the complexities of the regulatory system, which are also a burden, but many experts blame the fee-for-service reimbursement model for the failures of our contemporary healthcare system. And that's also true with behavioral health. Illinois has a particular obsession with fee-for-service-based contracts. They are far behind other states in how they fund mental health and substance use contracts by hanging on to this 15-minute reimbursement for services that are rated at, like, costs that only were maybe true 30 years ago, and we don't staff the state agencies well enough to update the rules and regulations in a meaningful way. So the state adds harm to the mental health system. So we don't do any fee-for-service contracting right now. It's really great for accountability. We can describe utilization. We can really drill down on any questions about duplication of services or over-service or gaps in service, but we have foregone all of that in favor of advance payment contracts. Everything goes out as advance payments because that allows the, especially the small nonprofits operating in this community, to function. So just that is why the audits then become really important, because we learn, and we also have the luxury of time. We, you know, the program year ends June 30th, and we don't find out the audited financials are not presented to us for another 6 months, but we have the luxury of time. We budget for money to come back later if it's owed back. But I really thought it was important to first, like, upfront, maximize success. But then on the back end, we spend a lot of time reviewing audits. It's mostly me reviewing the audits and then asking staff for help on particular issues, like to look more closely at some issues. So I can say that if there's a risk of burnout, it would probably start with me. And the thing that, and I want to protect our staff from burnout as well, especially if it's me emailing them little trivial questions from an audit, things I don't understand, that they're working on something else and now they got to answer me. So I really appreciate what you're saying. But just, you know, the risk, there is this risk that comes with the way that we've chosen to fund, and the solutions end up, you know, they're later. And so sometimes we spend a lot of time trying to track somebody down to get that check back, but that's how, you know, that's toward maximizing success. So anyway, I still feel committed to that as a bureaucrat. Sorry for going on.
So now, well, first, no, I'll say that for later. So we now need, again, I want to keep us on a clip here. We need a, can I now move to amend the motion that I made that is on the table? Or do we need, and you need to accept that as a friendly amendment?
Okay. Yeah, that works.
Would you? Okay, so I move, and I'm hoping that a fellow board member, Plasencia, will agree as a friendly amendment to strike all language after on. Is that correct?
Funding request.
Okay, let's do that. I move, yes. Do you accept that?
Yes.
Motion to consider the Immigrant Services of CU Program Year 2026 funding request.
Okay, so we have a motion to consider the Immigrant Services of CU Program Year 2026 funding request. Any further discussion?
Just one quick question. This doesn't set precedent, does it? Because I'm completely voting for this, but I want to make sure that we're I'm not just, expected.
There's no precedent. We make the rules.
Yeah, I guess I want to understand. So are we amending this to essentially say we're going to consider it regardless of the audit coming in or not?
I think that philosophically my issue is with the organizations that repeatedly have an issue year after year, and it's not for an organization that has struggled maybe 1 year. So I think that's the difference in my thoughts about it.
That's why we do it case by case.
Do I need to move to call the question, or can we?
No, I can do it. So I guess any further discussion? All right, does this need a roll call vote or a voice vote?
Voice vote.
Okay. All those in favor of considering the Immigrant Services of CU Program Year 2026 funding request, say aye.
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 All those opposed, same sign. The ayes have it. The Immigrant Services of CU Program Year 2026 funding request is approved. And will be considered. So next we have a similar discussion around the Urbana Neighborhood Connection Center's request for us to consider their funding request despite not having an audit in place. They have provided a letter on page 79. So there are, you know, again, multiple motions that we could make. Any of these could be amended. Let's discuss the issue at hand.
Well, I'll kick it off and trying to keep it rapid here. I think it's, again, we're not all about being fair in this world, but I think it's only fair if we're going to consider the application for Immigrant Services of CU, why would we not consider the one for Urbana Neighborhood Connection Center? Again, I don't feel it's necessary to put a date on that, being as we didn't put a date on the other one, so that's just kind of a thought.
I agree.
And like you said, consider doesn't mean we're funding it.
Correct.
All right, any other discussion or motions?
If there is no other discussion, I make a motion to defer consideration of the Urbana Neighborhood Connection Center Incorporated Program Year 2026.
I'll second.
That's not the exact same motion we made before. So before it was consider and now it's defer. It's okay. Do you want to amend the motion?
I will amend that to say I'll make a motion to consider the Urbana Neighborhood Connection Center Incorporated Program Year 2026 funding request.
All right. Any further discussion? All right, seeing no further discussion, all those in favor of considering the Urbana Neighborhood Connection Center Program Year 2026 funding request say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. The ayes have it. The program will be, their funding request will be considered. So last, we have a request not on the same issue, but related. So Women in Need Recovery has sent us a letter that is on page 80, requesting us to waive suspension of their payments because their audit has been late. So they mentioned that the audit was late due to discrepancy with their auditor, and they're asking for us to authorize the staff to release January, February, and March payments as scheduled. We also have the option of continuing suspension of payments. So this is similar to the issue we discussed last month with Family Service, where the audit is not in on time and they're wanting us to continue to pay them until the audit is in. So any discussion?
In that case, we just release 1 month, right?
In the Family Service one, we did release 1 month.
Yeah.
They requested 2 months of payments, and I believe their audit did come in shortly, on like February 5th or something like that. So it came in right away.
Yeah. So that's another option that you give a partial. Yeah.
So we could waive suspension of a certain and release a certain number of payments. We could release all the ones they're asking for, or we can continue the suspension of payments.
Because of my association with Women in Need Recovery, I'm not going to really get into discussing this, but I just have one question. Have they been on time with anything?
No.
I probably shouldn't even said that. I just wanted to mention it.
No to quarterly reports, no to audits,
no to board minutes.
And this is more what I was speaking about earlier, not organization. Oh, they're gone, but yeah, organizations like this.
That said, the previous organization we discussed, that question was not asked, but they have also been late with their audit frequently. So that's, you know, something to consider. I know in the memo there is a discussion of is there a discussion of when
page 71.
Yeah, I'm all over the place here. Yes, there is some history about Women in Need Recovery. So their PY 23 audit was submitted on April 24th, 2024, and their PY 22 audit was submitted on July 7th, 2023. They're stating that they expect it to be completed by that March 31st deadline that could result in contract cancellation if it's not in by that date. However, their previous two audits were not in by that date. And just to remember, the March 31st date is a grace period. The actual deadline is December 31st.
I have two questions. Am I correct that they have other funding besides just us? I was thinking they get other funding, and ours isn't much compared to what they get. And then is there actually anyone on there from WIN?
Any further questions or discussion?
Well, this seems like a different case. It's not just the audit, you know.
They have not asked us to consider their application, although they did turn one in. They've just asked us to release the payments that have been suspended. So I don't know if they're going to make a request like those that have been made from these other agencies.
Point of order, which one are we on here?
So the third one, Women in Need Recovery.
Okay.
And their letter is on page 80.
Thank you. I don't think I received this in the mail, by the way. But when's the last time that we heard from them in person?
Not in person, but you mean when they came? Oh. Yeah. I don't remember when.
It was in the fall, but it was online. It's been a while.
And they did send us this letter, which appears to be dated January 7th. The punch is cutting it off, so I can't tell if it's a one or a two.
It does say January 7th. Is that right? Yeah, January 7th.
I don't think it was received January 7th.
I can look at the email to see when we got it. I'll look for that right now. I'm concerned. I thought we sent Emily Rodriguez everything. So we may need to talk to you afterwards about a correct address. That might be the board packet and the other stuff. So
I don't know why we wouldn't have.
Okay, we'll figure it out.
We did. It was sent. I remember it specifically. Sorry for jumping in.
Thank you. So again, I think our options are to continue suspending payments, to waive suspension of all the payments they're asking for, or to waive suspension of some of the payments they're asking for. What are people feeling?
I would just say when we released some of the payments for the other organization, they gave us reasons as to why, what they would be able to do, how they would be able to keep money going, flowing in to keep the lights on. I don't see explanations of what this would do for the agency if we do approve or we don't approve or if we approve 1 month. So I don't know. That I would vote to approve without having that kind of information.
They did state in their letter that, they stated some reasons why it was late. They stated that their auditor was unaware of the total sum of their grants, which required them to have a different kind of audit. I would be under the impression that it would be the responsibility of the agency to communicate that to the auditor, not for the auditor to just somehow know, but I could be wrong about that. That said, these are services that are in place right now. So if we suspend those payments, they could have an impact on services that are happening right now. On the other two items, we're talking about services that we might be funding in the future that we have offered compassion around. So I am curious about, what approach we might take with this one.
I guess my experience with Wind Recovery, unfortunately, has been one where just they have missed deadline after deadline, and I don't get the same answers I get from other agencies or the sense of urgency I get sometimes from other agencies of getting things done or how things are going to be corrected. And so I think from my perspective, I don't have a good feeling of things getting done. And I've run my path with this agency on giving more leniency. But I'm happy to do whatever other people want to do.
Is it possible to ask them to come in next month and hear from them and then table this and then, not tabling, we usually... tabling, but can we do that and ask them to come forward?
I think we could do that. The only thing is if they're in dire need of those payments now, that would require them to, go beyond another month. But I think that's definitely a motion that we could make would be to defer consideration of their request until they present to us next month.
It doesn't seem very dire. That's just my perspective. Not usually the mean person.
So could we go with the second potential? Because it doesn't say we'll never fund them. It just says until we follow up some issues.
Yeah.
It sounds like there's the option to defer this discussion until they come and present to us themselves, or that we continue to suspend their payments.
Could we, so would that be something that staff just follows up with, you know, a letter, something formal? Okay, red receipts.
And did you hear that question?
We're searching our emails to try to figure out when she sent this letter that's dated January 7. So still trying to follow up on that. So I missed the question.
I guess I was just clarifying like the process for that. So we just get a letter, email, something formal, red receipt that this has been received, and we're formally requesting their presence to the next meeting.
If we were to defer this discussion, like, would we be able to get those things? The process to get them to come to the next meeting.
You know, we usually just ask people to come, but I think, and they don't always come when we ask them, so I'm open to whatever. I'm a little lost, you know, searching through the thousands of emails of the last month just to try to find that date. Maybe, I think this is totally possible. I'm just not exactly sure what all the pieces would be. So is that something you could maybe direct me through email after?
Sure, and I don't think I need anything. I guess I was just wondering about the process and how we would make the gravity of our invitation clear to the recipient.
I think you get to design that. And we'll do whatever that it takes.
So in the meantime, are we continuing to suspend those payments?
Yes.
I'm assuming? Yes.
So I guess I will... move to continue the suspension of payments on the Wind Recovery Program Year 2025 contract until either the PY24 audit is submitted and any follow-up issues resolved, or until the agency comes to us with more detail.
I will second that motion.
Thank you. Any further discussion or amendments requested?
Can I ask one question? So they have also asked for funding for fiscal year 26. So, yes, they have not formally asked us to consider their application, but do we want to say, hey, review of their applications, I think, need to kind of be deferred a little bit to the bottom of the pile?
There's another agency with the same situation, and that's Christian Health. So Christian Health and Women in Need Recovery both submitted applications for funding, but didn't ask about this audit requirement piece. We did find the letter. Leon found the letter, like, just like that. Thank you, Leon. It should have probably been dated February 7th, because that's when it was sent to us. So mystery solved. Okay. So I didn't really feel that. I feel like I don't want to ask things on behalf of agencies anymore, because it creates the appearance that we're advocating one way or the other and causing you to spend hours on these questions. But it's reasonable if you want to take up that issue now. You have those two other applicants for funding who don't have audits.
It looks like, according to their letter, they're expected to get this done by 3/31. So that they would have it in before the application due date.
I think if we want to consider this question about Women in Need Recovery, we should also consider it about the other agency with a late audit. And I think we should consider it as a separate motion. So do we want to have any further discussion on the motion? I don't actually remember if anybody seconded.
Jane did.
Okay, thank you. Any further discussion on the motion to continue suspension of payments, either until their audit is in or until they come to us with more information? Yeah, go for it.
I think with that language, when you say until they come to us with more information, implies that if they bring us more information, we're going to release the suspension. Mm. So I think maybe something like until they get the audit in or until the board decides to resume funding.
Okay. I can go ahead and this friendly amendment thing is new to me. So I will amend the motion on the table to continue suspension of payments on the WIN Recovery Program 25 program year 2025 contract either until the PY 24 audit is submitted and any follow-up issues resolved or until the board otherwise decides to resume payment. Jane, would you like to re-second the motion?
Yes, I can re-second that.
All right. Any final discussion? Since this is regarding payments, is this a roll call vote?
Yes.
Okay. So the final motion on the table is to continue suspension of payments on the WIN Recovery Program Year 2025 contract until the PY24 audit is submitted and any follow-up issues resolved or until the board decides to otherwise resume funding. Can I get a roll call?
Chris Miner.
Abstain.
Tony Nichols.
Yes.
Joe Omosagye.
Yes.
Elaine Palencia.
Yes.
Kyle Patterson.
Yes.
Emily Rodriguez.
Yes.
Jane Sprandl.
Yes.
John Paul Joachim.
Yes.
Molly McClay.
Yes. All right. The ayes have it. The suspension of payments is continued until either the audit is in or we make another decision to resume payment. Do we want to entertain the question of what to do about any of these other agencies who have applied for funding whose audits are late this evening, or do we want to discuss that next month? So Women in Need Recovery and then Champaign County Christian Health Center. And then there also is the issue of First Followers is on a two-year contract, and they did not have to apply for funding, but it may be that they need to have their audit in order to be eligible for the second year of the contract. Is that accurate?
As of if there's not an audit by March 31st, the board will be asked to consider canceling the contracts. Yeah.
So do we want to discuss the consideration of Women in Need Recovery and Champaign County Christian Health Center this evening or wait till next month? All right. I'm hearing that we will wait on that till next month and there's no suggested motion. So we can move on. And now I need to find the agenda because my iPad went to sleep. Thank you, everyone, for getting through that discussion. So next, we do have more public participation agency input. I do reserve the right to limit individual time to 5 minutes and total time to 20 minutes. If there's anybody in the room, which there appears to not be, and anybody online who would like to speak to the board, please let us know. Is there anybody who'd like to contribute? All right, no one online. So next we will move to board-to-board reports. As always, board members can serve as liaison to other boards. And if you'd like to do that, you can talk to Stephanie Howard Gallo about it. Any board members who are currently attending other boards have updates for us. There, Lynn and I attend a University of Illinois Student Mental Health Committee meeting. They canceled this month, but we are supposed to meet next month. Any other updates?
I believe around March 7th, we're going to have a Disabilities Expo steering committee kickoff. So if anyone recalls anything from like their recap of the last thing that you'd like to share with me, let me know, and I'll be happy to bring those thoughts on behalf of the board.
All right, thank you. All right, next we will move to county board input. Do we have any input from our county board liaison?
Sure. I'll make it super brief. I guess perhaps it'd be good to have context, I guess, for how bullish I've been tonight. Local governments are bracing for a really terrible set of economic circumstances. And it sure seems like we are one stable spot to offer funding. Yep, so I guess Also, just to note, unemployment, particularly from federal workers, will be going up. So our services are needed now more than ever. And you can go to any local government. They will tell you that they are having the same conversation. So I would just underline that.
Thank you very much. Next, we will move to Champaign County Developmental Disabilities Board input. Do we have any input from the Developmental Disabilities Board?
They met this morning. They have almost the same number of applications to review that you do. They have added a discussion item for emerging threats, particularly federal threats, but the state budget. Well, there's a lot of news I haven't read yet about the governor's announcement of the budget, but we're anticipating a $3.2 billion hole or something. So not a good year for state or federal governments. But in their the emerging threats to people with developmental disabilities are really from every direction. They, elder care and care for adults with disabilities are the biggest part of Medicaid. So if there's no Medicaid, there is no community care. And so I think the Developmental Disabilities Board and the Mental Health Board have been an island during times of chaos, but nothing like that.
All right, thank you very much.
This might sound a little crass, but I'm glad my mom passed away last year.
Thank you. Next, we'll move to board announcements and input. Any board members with announcements or input?
on May 19th, the Illinois chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics is going to have a conference for mental health for providers at the iHotel on May 19th. And so for like Rosecrans and Promise Healthcare, if their providers want to go, for like their doctors, their nurse practitioners, their physician assistants, it's going to be a whole day of speakers, discussing different ways to, different topics from just basic how to prescribe, medications for different mental, health diagnoses to possibly, having a provider talk about autism or, other things too. And then I know they're going to have, I think, probably like 10 booths with local agencies. So they're looking for local agencies that might be interested in having a booth at that conference. So you can just email me at john.uakim@carl.com if you want me to get you in touch with the Illinois chapter of AAP for that. I think they said the conference for people for providers, it will be continual medical education credits that you can get for that. That all providers have to get to keep their license. I think they said it's either going to be free or if they provide food, I think it's going to be $15 for the conference, and it's going to be pretty much all day. So, yep.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Any other board announcements or input? All right, seeing none, the last item is to adjourn for the evening. Our next meeting will be Wednesday, March 19th, 2025, at 5:45 p.m. right here in the Shields Carter Room of the Brookings Administrative Building, Urbana. So we will adjourn for the evening. Have a good night. And stay warm, even though it's not going to be warm out there.
Recording stopped.